Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist and e-therapist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we may be joined from Mexico with couples therapist Dr. David Sanford. And whoever's here, we're going to be boldly going out of the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before. Or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. Good morning, Hughes.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
So we'll see if David calls in later. He hasn't called in yet, but you and I will man the fort here and go into the subject of forgiveness.
Jim, if David gave us his number, we could call him, but he didn't, did he?
Hey, listen, after the show, I have a number for him, which I will give you. I'm not sure why he didn't give it to you, but...
there may be
an issue of forgiveness there. Maybe you did something that he's holding on to. This is kind of passive aggressive, not giving you his number. So we'll see how that goes. That's one of the outcomes of being hurt, and what do you do about it, or being injured or offended or whatever. And if you don't say something about it and hold on to it, there are all kinds of ways that you may be getting into being passive aggressive. So it's I think it's very helpful, it's very powerful to tell somebody when you feel like you've been slighted or hurt or, you know, something's happened that's not felt good to you. It's almost like a barb or an arrow, and is there a way to take that barb or that arrow out? I think the path to that is talking about it. Now that, you know, presupposes that the other person is going to be open to hearing what happened and caring and sensitive about it. So those are some big ifs.
Yeah, given the metaphor that we're working with here right now, you know, I don't have David's phone number to call him up and tell him that I've been hurt.
<That's right. laughs>
So I guess I may have to work on my own forgiveness within my own world right now until I do get his number. And or
yeah.
Go visit them. You know, that could be another.
that would help with forgiveness. Going down there where it's warm after it's so cold up here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I find forgiveness for the weather too. I mean, there's all sorts of things we can find forgiveness for.
Right. So you know, it's an interesting question. I think sometimes you can forgive on your own. Sometimes you can get into that space of forgiving without the participation of the other person.
Yeah.
And it helps, especially it helps with the relationship, if you can have a dialogue about what happened, how you felt, you know, where they were coming from. Sometimes you can be mistaken as to what their intent was or what they actually said. You know, it gets built up in your mind as to what happened, why it happened, what their motivation was, what was actually going on. And sometimes it helps for a little reality check. The longer you take to talk about it, the more it builds up in your mind as a reality of what happened, even the distorted reality. You know, memory or witnesses are very unreliable in terms of what they actually see. But once they've decided what happened, then it can become locked in as truth. And that's very hard for the other person to say more about what their experience was, even remembering what their experience was. So the sooner the better for all concerned.
Yeah, we tend to build cases against another person or an organization or a country or whatever if we're not in dialogue with them as a way of understanding their side, what some of the choices were that they made, what their opinions are. But the truth is held somewhere in the middle. You know, if I'm holding on to my truth as the only way it is, and it's going to put me in direct conflict with the other side a lot of times. So, you know, what you're putting out here is great stuff, Jim, around dialogue. Get it out. Really seek to understand what the other person is about and what their view of the situation may be.
Right.
A lot of times we kind of develop our own kind of resentment or anger or passive-aggressive approach towards another in response to something that we may really not understand fully what it is about.
Right. And sticking with the person who's been offended or injured here, it helps if you approach the person that you want to forgive or work through this with. You probably don't even know you want to forgive them until you get into dialogue with them. But it helps if you tell them what happened to you. If you start out with what they did that was so bad and how angry you are at them, you automatically set them up to defend themselves and to be defensive. And it's harder then to hear what happened to you and why. And if it's about you and your feelings, they can be empathic, more likely to be empathic, sympathetic, caring about what happened to you. If it's about what the other person did wrong, the other person then is, really scared. Oh, my God. I've been accused of something wrong. I've been accused of being a bad person. I've got to defend myself. So you can help the other person to hear you and not get defensive by focusing on what happened to you and how you felt. That doesn't mean they won't even then go into being defensive and making it about you instead of them. But it makes it more likely that they won't.
So what I hear you saying is to own, as a way of creating a safe dialogue, getting things started for some healing around an issue of anger, is to kind of own your own feelings first versus pointing the finger and telling the other person what they did wrong, in your opinion, to own how it affected you and what your feelings are about that.
Right.
As a way of opening the dialogue for them to understand your side without having to point the finger and have them get defensive in response to
right.
the dialogue.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not a guarantee that they won't get defensive, but you have a better chance that they won't.
Yeah, and then we can get angry at them for not listening to us, right?
No, that's right.
We're going to throw that out there, humor, but it can spiral into, you don't know where it's going to spiral to.
And as I said earlier, the sooner you talk about it, the less that anger has time to build up steam and really be more and more intense, and the more righteous you get about it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm here on Wikipedia, and I'm just kind of looking at the definition of forgiveness from how people have put in here. And there's a line here that's really interesting. It says, forgiveness is the ceasing to demand punishment or restitution.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty powerful thing if you think about it, ceasing to demand punishment. A lot of times when we're hurt, or we feel like we've been violated or misunderstood or disrespected, that, and I think you've already commented on around the passive aggressiveness piece, that we feel like we want to punish or get restitution for our feelings by taking some pain out on another person as a way of leveling the battle, the field, you know?
Right.
I'm putting that out there as something to think about. I mean, is that the healthiest approach to move in the direction of forgiveness
mm-hmm.
when there is some anger or some resentments or indignation going on? Because I think a lot of times we do kind of think that, you know, geez, if the other person can feel as bad as I do, then I'll feel better.
Right. You know, switching to the other side for a minute, and the person who's being approached because somebody feels they've been done wrong, it does help if you can think of some ways to offer restitution. You know, if you can say, oh, I did that and that hurt you, here's a way I might make that up to you. You know, here's a way would that help? Or, you know, again, the question of what would help you to feel better? What would you want from me or like from me? You know, again, if you want me to be severely punished, you know, maybe that can be worked out. You know, there may be some punishment. Or maybe if there's some way I can make it up to you. A lot of times I think the first thing is to hear the other person. When somebody's telling you that they are feeling bad by something you did or said, the first thing is to hear them, because I think we all want to be heard. And if you can not get into your defensiveness, not get too anxious, hear what they're saying, hear what they're feeling. Again, we're talking about how the best way to do it. They may be doing it a really good way, they may be not doing it a really good way. But if you can hear the right or the message underneath, which is the hurt. A lot of people, you know, lead with anger when the real underlying feeling is hurt. And if they can speak from that hurt place, or if they don't speak from that hurt place, if you can understand or appreciate or imagine what that hurt place is. It may give you a better approach to find a way to make them feel better and to resolve the issue, resolve the conflict that happened, the hurt that happened.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit about entering into that as a way of making people feel better versus listening to them as a way of helping them resolve whatever they're holding on to, resentment, anger, indignation.
Right.
The goal is obviously for us to have healthy dialogue, relationships, feel good about our lives, feel good about our relationships. And if we can, as you were saying, witness, listen, hear what the other person is really about and what's going on for them, they're ultimately going to feel better. But it's a real act of surrender to be able to listen to another person when they are upset with us.
Right. Absolutely.
One of the hardest things to do. Right. One of the hardest things we do as a human being.
Right.
You know? And, you know, along with that, I mean, I guess maybe part of it is, too, is not pulling out apologies just as a way of trying to avoid someone being mad at us. I mean, there's an apology that's sincere, and then there's a quick apology as a way of trying to get out of trouble. And, you know, apologize when it's appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. You know, I think we all want to be taken seriously. And being dismissed and not apologizing or not even understanding what's going on is a way to be dismissed. But I think you make an excellent point that trying to apologize too quickly just to get the matter out of the way and get yourself out of an uncomfortable position is also a dismissive. And you have to be careful in either direction. I think we all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. We all want to be cared about. You know, it's a lot about being cared about. You know, you did this to me, it hurt me. You don't care about me enough. You don't care about how I feel. You don't care about me, whether I'm hurt or not. If you apologize,
I care about you.
Thank you, Hughes.
No, sorry to interrupt. It really is about how we approach the thing and how serious we are about it.
I want to go to a little different aspect of this topic. Sometimes the hurt is so egregious that it may be very difficult to get to a place of forgiveness. You know, I think of being sexually abused or being physically injured or being, seriously discriminated against. And I think sometimes there's a pressure on people. People feel pressure. You know, you have to have forgiveness. You have to let go. One side of that is the other person has to be sincerely wanting forgiveness, sincerely wanting to make amends or make up for or somehow deal with the behavior that was so harmful, so negative, so hostile. And if you can separate their wanting forgiveness, needing forgiveness, being interested in forgiveness, being interested in understanding what they did or understanding how you felt about it, how that affected you, you may be then left all on your own. And then you have to decide. And it's a very tricky thing because I don't think you should ever accept really terrible things that have happened to you. But there may be a form of forgiveness where you can move on with your life. If you're constantly trying to see yourself in the role of the victim or being harmed, it can harm you even more. It's like you're keeping the perpetrator in your consciousness harming you over and over again. But it's very tricky, and I would never want somebody to think that the pressure is on them or the burden is on them to forgive, especially when somebody on the other side is not owning the behavior and not accepting their part in it and understanding the ramifications and implications of that.
So what I hear you saying is, or another way of phrasing that question is it okay not to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sounds like yes, if you're in a situation where you're going to continue to be harmed or compromise your safety in any way, that maybe forgiveness in that way is a matter of holding on to your anger as a way of self-preservation or self-care.
Right.
I always love that statement. Aim to forgive but not forget.
Okay. Yep.
I think that may apply here.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're seriously harmed, you've learned something about how you can be vulnerable to being hurt, exploited, or whatever. Learn appropriate lessons for that. Don't throw those lessons away. In terms of being reasonably cautious, reasonably protective of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If, on the other hand, it gets too generalized, too expanded, too disruptive of you're living your life, moving on, getting in good things. You know, if your filter is so firm, your boundary is so firm that you keep out all the bad things, you may also be keeping out some good things. People who really could, treat you well, love you, nurture you, care for you, those kinds of things. And that's a tough balance that sometimes we have to work out in therapy, in terms of what to let in, what to keep out. One gestalt definition of health is being able to say yes to what's nurturing, no to what's toxic, and knowing the difference between those two. If you can consistently, accurately assess that and do that, then you can have a richer life. If you're keeping out things that are nurturing, that's not healthy. If you're letting in things that are toxic, that's not healthy. So, and sometimes that can be kind of tricky and can take some real work.
I always think life is artful.
There you go.
What's coming up for me is all right, well, someone's done harm to me. Maybe it's not safe for me to continue to be in a relationship with them. Can I still forgive them and move on without holding on to that resentment and moving forward in my life? I mean, forgive can be at a level where that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to continue having you in my life or having the situation in my life.
Right.
I can still find forgiveness for someone who's done me harm and not allow that harm to continue to challenge my life.
Right. Or, you make some judgments or some discriminations in terms of how to have somebody in your life.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't be married to somebody, but they are the parent of your children. And maybe you can accept a relationship with them in ways that aren't harmful to you, that work better for your co-parenting or work better for your going on. I think some people do that well in terms of having an ex as a friend, and some people don't do so well with that. They did me wrong in this marriage. I'll never forgive them. I can't really ever be nice to them. And that only is a manageable problem, it seems to me, if there aren't any kids or any family involved. But once there are kids, man, oh man, you gotta talk about whether that's helping you and whether that's helping your kids. People get divorced because they can't work out the differences between them. They can't work out the ways that they feel harmed. And sometimes, that can take couples therapy to work through that. Sometimes co-parenting therapy after you get separated from somebody. Sometimes that's helpful, sometimes it's not. It depends on how much goodwill on both sides there is to work through it.
Hmm. Well put. Hey, do you think Mr. Mark Kiefner's gonna call in today? Dr. Mark?
Well, I don't see him on our board, so I'm not sure what happened to Mark. So man, okay. We've been let down here by David and Mark, man.
Well, don't give up yet. We still have 7 minutes. Don't give up yet.
We're going to have to work on forgiveness with them, I think. I think we are.
This is an actively and an engaged show.
But, the other side of it, what I'm grateful for is, we've had a good dialogue here, just you and me.
Yeah.
And I I've enjoyed the space for you and I to be able to sort out this issue just between the two of us, and we wouldn't have had as much time and space to do that without them. So
you're here.
Yep.
Thank you. Hey, just to kind of pick up where you were last at, another element of forgiveness, especially around some of the stuff you were just talking about, it, and we haven't really talked about this in a half hour, is forgiveness of self.
Oh,
there's that old line. You know, there's that old line of, like, how can I forgive another if I'm not willing to forgive myself?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I think that's really hard to kind of comprehend at times when we're so full of maybe righteousness or judgment or feeling hurt and having all those emotions running around. But one really needs to slow down enough to kind of reach for some forgiveness for oneself around having that kind of reaction or those emotions or those judgments or assumptions of another person, too. And that's kind of how I understand it. That in order to really kind of forgive another person, we really also need to be willing to forgive ourselves along the way, too.
I think it goes along with what I was saying earlier about sort of incorporating the perpetrator. And I think a lot of us, swallow some of those negative judgments that we got when we were little. And we then are then in the role of the persecutor who hurt us or dismissed us or, made our lives difficult when we were kids. And we take that on because, trying to please somebody who's important to you is very essential in childhood. So you tell yourself what they told you. But that needs to be re-examined as you get older. Do you need to do that anymore? Was that appropriate, what they said back then? Was that their junk, not really about you, but more about them? And can you let go of that voice within yourself that doesn't forgive you or judges you or puts you down or makes you unhappy?
And the Buddhists would talk about that as being an element of suffering. Holding on to re-experiencing, not letting go, is a form of suffering. You know,
right.
That feeling go on and on and on and not getting relief from it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That brings us pretty close to the end here. And it gives us time to tell people how to get in touch with us. You can contact me at drjimweaver.com or at 207-773-7993, extension 22. I'd be glad to talk to you about any issues that you have that you want to work on with me. How about you, Hughes?
Yeah, I can be found by telephone at 207-774-0110, and both Jim and I are located in Portland, Maine.
And I'm located on the internet also. I do internet therapy, and people from anywhere can work with me if they need to or so choose. So not next week, but the week after, we're going to be having Cedric Spire and Michelle Manny from Warren Chappelle EAP talking about e-therapy in EAP, and Cedric, I think, is one of the pioneers in this, and has a system and has some research and some feedback about that I think you'll be very interested in listening to. So that's 2 weeks from today, and hopefully that'll be a good show that you'll get a lot out of, especially if you're interested in that issue of internet therapy. Okay, Hughes, I will see you next week. Good to have you. Good to chat with you and have you as my partner here. And we'll go out with Megan Jo Wilson taking us away with her song "Take Me Away."
All right,
Hughes.
Have a good week.
You too.